All right. Well, welcome back, everybody, to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to go in and get started now, my friends, for our main service here in the afternoon. It is a beautiful sunny day here in Oceanside, California. Very thankful to the Lord for this weather, and let's continue to enjoy it and serve Him faithfully in it. All right, friends, we want to welcome our first-time visitors. It's good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We met, I think it was David. Yesterday at the pier, amen, after we were doing some soul winning, we met Nick there at the end of our ministry route there. So praise the Lord. Thank you for coming, friend, and I hope you find a family in us. We're just going to go over some quick announcements. Calendar tab. As you guys know, we announce our future events and ministry commitments that we're going to do. And so that way all of our members can know what's, ahead of time for anticipation for ministry. And so yesterday was Saturday. We had a great time evangelizing. We had our friends visit us from Bible Believers Baptist in Imperial Beach, Brother Angel Vasquez, as well as Brother Jorge, and we had a great time. They ended up coming here on time. It was a blessing, and Sister Eileen joined us, little Gibby joined us, and we had a great time fellowshipping. We're just going to go over some of those photos with you guys now, and of course, Sister Eileen or Gibby, if you have a testimony you want to share with us, come on up here. Katie, come on up here. You guys already know the drill. And so yesterday, we have Brother Jorge out there at the pier. Sister Eileen's in the back of him, witnessing, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, just loving on people. That girl knows she got in the photo. Look at her, just looking straight there. And then this is just a silly picture, but I took a picture of us in the neighborhood as we were out and about. So you can't see Gibby, but he's over here on the right side. And then Eileen is out there like a ninja passing out tracks like crazy. I saw her. Eileen was on fire. And then, of course, Eileen, because she knew she wanted to be in that picture. Look at her ready to show her face. That's Brother Jorge. He's a good brother. You guys know that Jorge lives in Tijuana. He crosses the border every service they have just to go to church. That's a blessing. So let's keep Brother Jorge in prayer. He's a good man. He did a good job. Me and Eileen and Jorge, we split up. And then Katie, Brother Angel, and Gibby, they split up. Because I believe that when you're evangelizing, it's good to have a male and female presence. Because when you go to a house, there are children sometimes. Here are some men. And it kind of has an awkward presentation. So I always like to do that. Part of our custom here is take a female with you because it helps bring a neutral approach to people's houses, male and female. It's really cool. So they went out, we went out, and Brother Jorge, he was ministering amazingly in Spanish. Me and Aline were just so encouraged to see how he was loving on this doña named Lupe at her house. And he just did a great job. Amen. And Sister Eileen, too, she would get a little shy. Jorge will step in or I'll step in. And we all were out there like a family doing it as a team. There's Gibby right there. Look at him. He's so excited. So much energy right there. And we're thankful for little Gibby. Amen. So thank you for Gibby. That's us going into the neighborhood. Amen. And so you guys know our tradition. Every Saturday, we do evangelism like this. We meet at the church at 10 o'clock, pray together, get some breakfast bagels. We go door to door in the neighborhoods first, take a little quick break, and then we go downtown to the beach. So we had a great crew yesterday. It was a blessing. And we're thankful for it. So we continued in the fireside area. It was a blessing. There's me ministering, and then Brother Angel was right here. He had my back. And guys, if this young man was sincere, let's keep this young man in prayer. His name was Gabriel. He professed faith in Christ. So I hope that was sincere. He gave his life to Jesus. So Lord willing, we'll see him soon or up there in the air. We always let him know that we want you to come to church, of course, to follow the next steps of getting a disciple. But of course, go to a Bible-believing Christian church near you. So hopefully one day we'll see. He was sincere, had a great time sharing the gospel there. Again, their sister Elaine, she's so excited to get her photo taken there. Amen. So there she is holding it down for Jesus. And here's Brother Angel. He was doing a great job. We were both ministering together, and I was looking forward to seeing Brother Angel in action because, man, he's a good young man. He loves Jesus. He has this little small church down there in Imperial Beach just like ours, and it was such a good spirit of camaraderie and grace and charity co-serving alongside each other with the Lord, and I just love how he was following and emulating that example and just talking to people. Hey, we just want to give a friendly flyer to share with you about Jesus. He was right in key, and that was a blessing. And of course, here's Brother Angel. We had a good time. So let's continue to keep him in prayer. He's a good brother in Christ. Amen. And we are his friends as a church family. And as you guys know, as your pastor, I'm a pastor to any pastor who wants to be a friend to me. We're going to be a friend to them. Again, every church house does it differently. Just like at your house, you guys like to have food this way, they have food that way. We're not all going to be 100% in agreement. But if Jesus is the Savior, that's all the agreement that I need. And if there's a friend that wants to do something for Christ, I want to support it. And so let's continue to keep them in prayer. So that's Brother Angel. And then, of course, there's Gibby handing out tracts and all the brethren having a good time out there yesterday. And then us holding it down. Amen. So anybody testimony? 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 Nobody? All right. No? No, maybe? Nobody wants to. Okay, Katie, come on up here then. So Katie's just going to share a quick testimony of her experience yesterday, man. So there you go. Oh, there you go.
Hello. So yesterday when we went door knocking, it was Gibby, brother, Angel, and I. We went, we like split up in different areas, and we would just cross, meet up in like in the middle. So when we were witnessing, Gibby, he kept getting like gate after gate after gate, and no answer after no answer. And then when he finally, when someone answered the door and came out, a Hispanic lady, she came out and she, he was able to kind of witness to her in Spanish and tell her where the church is. And
did he do that?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
And then, so I was very proud of him. I also had a picture I forgot to send to Carlos, but he also tagged a little dollhouse that was sitting out, on the side of the road for someone like to pick up for free. So right? Toy store, toy houses. And so I got him leaving a door flyer there as well, and he did really well just ministering to people. They were very encouraged to see him going out with us, since he is a younger a youth, and we had a really good time fellowshipping. It was fun. There was a huge swarm of bees that we had to kind of walk away from while we were witnessing, and then after they had moved on, then we got the last two houses. But it was a really good time of fellowship, really fun. It's something about going out in numbers with the other believers that just makes it so much fun. And you encourage each other. You get the good door knocks. You get some, doors slammed in your face, people yelling at you and all this. But you're able to just get through it. And with the our friends that come with us. So I would say it was a really good day, really fruitful, very receptive people in the door knocking and also in the outreach at the pier. But yeah, so it was a good day yesterday.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Katie.
Appreciate you, wife. Amen. Lord's good. All right. So next announcements, guys. Calendar tab. Remember, ladies, my wife is inviting Eileen, Maribel, Sister Joaquina, Sister Dina, if you want to go. Of course, it's on a Friday night. On the 19th, there's going to be a ladies' fellowship with our friends at Grace Baptist Church in Corona, California. It's going to be from about it's going to start at 6 to about 8 or so. My wife will drive you ladies, and so you guys will need to leave here by at least 5:30. So with that said, if you guys can let Katie know ahead of time, that'll be good. And then us men, if all the ladies go, we'll have a barbecue fellowship. If not, no barbecue fellowship. So let's encourage our women to go, amen. And then don't forget, guys, on the last Sunday of this month, I shared with some of you guys last Friday, I'm going to put it on our calendar tab soon, but we're going to have Pastor Shannon Scott from Grace Baptist Church. He's going to come down here to preach and teach and minister to our church family. So I'm looking forward to you guys meeting a new friend of mine. He's a good brother, good friend in Christ. And I'm looking forward to continuing to build camaraderie with not just like-minded churches, but like-minded men with the same spirit of love, grace, and charity. So you guys know, guys, that's my heart, and so it's good. I'm looking forward to that. Live stream links, again, Facebook, podcasts, YouTube, study blogs. If you guys ever want to get a little visual tract or some study aids, if you will, I've already uploaded so much. You guys can peruse those, answer some Bible questions, and some visual. And then if you need prayer, submit a prayer request right here online. We are a church that loves to pray for people. And so let's continue to pray for one another as a family. Amen. Call me, call Sister Katie, and we'll get you there. And then last but not least, church, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose within your heart to financially give for the needs of this local church. We sure appreciate that. Just remember that God promised to bless you if you give cheerfully. Remember, here's the New Testament rule. You give sparingly, reap sparingly. You give bountifully, you reap bountifully. So as you guys know, it's what you purpose in your heart. Say, Lord, here it is, box back there. You got the PayPal, you got the Venmo, and you got good old cash. We don't take pesos, anybody. We don't have that currency exchange up in here, y'all. So let's get them dollars, amen, or change. That's cool between you and the Lord. And I know the Lord will take care of everything else, amen. All right, guys. So with that said, let's get back on our Bible train, Galatians, the 5th chapter. If you can open up with me now in your Bible there, Galatians chapter 5. If you need a Bible, there is a Bible there near you in a pew up in the front or in the back. And we want to encourage everybody who comes to a church, get a Bible open, amen. And then after church, we can get our phones back in our hands, get our video game controllers back in our hands. Let's try to give the Lord as much of attention as we can give him, so that way we can let the Holy Spirit minister to our hearts from the Bible. And this kind of a church, if you will, we just want to go through the verse, the Word of God, verse-by-verse expository, and I hope today will be a blessing to you. And let's go ahead and continue now in our verse-by-verse study through Galatians chapter number 5. So just want to catch you guys up with where we are at. We are going to specifically be focusing on verses number 11 and then onward, but just a quick theme summary to remind all of you, perhaps first-time visitors and those of you that are just coming back, the book of Galatians is being written to Christians. It's not necessarily trying to present the means of salvation to unbelievers, rather telling Christians who Christ is, what he has offered them through the gospel of Galatians 1:4. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So the remaining of the book of Galatians is practical, teaching you that the law of Moses can't do it for you, for the Jew. Traditions and celebrations and observations for the Gentile, that can't do it for you. Trying to have extra commandments and things like this outside of Christ and that relationship, that's not going to help you to have a spiritual, victorious life over sin. Jesus is that personal relationship is what's going to do it. And so that's what we are studying. That's the theme of Galatians, if you will. And now we're going to pick up here where we left off in verse number 10. So let's go into read now with me verse number 10. The Bible says here, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Today, we're going to talk about why the cross of Christ is an offense to people. Let's pray. Abba, Father, I thank you now for the word of God. Lord, once again, I just pray that you would remove me out of your way. I just want to be a vessel through whom your Holy Spirit can take the living word and implant it into our hearts. Today, Lord, once again, would you please, please, God, remove me out of your way. Wherever I have an error in my human presentation, God, I pray the Holy Spirit to take the Holy Bible and give it to their hearts as they need to hear it and as they need to see it, God, to cause them to draw closer to Christ, conform them to Christ, and obedience to the Word of God. Father, we need your strength this afternoon. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us and to draw near us today this afternoon. Great God in heaven, would you please a fellowship with us as we draw near to you? Would you draw near to us, Lord? And if any one of us came here without Christ being our desire, without Christ being our goal, and without us leaving this church to be more like him, God, then we came in vain. Lord, we don't want to leave empty. We came here to be filled again, God. So please fill us once again from the word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see here how the Apostle Paul is talking to these Christians. Remember, first century, what's the theme again? Jews coming to Christ are being persecuted because they have their entire life religion built upon Judaism, the temple sacrifices, the temple, everything, if you will, and their society was built off the law of Moses. And here we have a man from Nazareth who claimed to be that Messiah, claimed to be God. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And all these early Jewish converts and eventually Gentile converts would solely trust in him. They would have unity in this man, not the law, not the temple, but in the person of Christ. And for that reason, telling the Jew that that temple is insufficient, telling the Jew that sacrifice is insufficient, or telling the Gentile their shrines, their temples, their wisdom, their societies, their philosophies are insufficient, that brings offense to people. The preaching of the cross. And today I'd like to talk to you about that, because if Paul wasn't preaching the cross of Christ, he would no longer be persecuted by Jews because he would cave in and conform to his immediate contextual society that, no, you're right, Jehovah can still be accessed through the law. Jehovah can still be, if you will, accessed through the temple sacrifice, you know, and, you know, we don't really need this man, if you will, and he would avoid all the lashes if he stopped preaching that this man is the sole means of salvation. But he can't, and he won't, because it's the truth. And so then we're going to talk about offenses, why the preaching of the cross is an offense to sinners. And so bear with me now. Turn with me now in your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. We'd like to show you from the Bible so that way the Word of God can establish definitions for you in their context, and that's what we'd like to do, cross-reference for you, make it easy for you. If you don't have a Bible with you or if we go a little too quick, you can look up to the screen, and then later on, you can slow me down on YouTube or Facebook. Matthew 16, verse number 23. Here is the first mention of the word offense in the Bible. And I want us to see a little bit of that in its context. There's something called the principle of first mention. And what does that mean? Every time a word is used for the very first time in your Bible, it usually sets the precedence for how the Lord is going to use it later on to give you a definition or to build off from that for your spiritual understanding. So here we have it, the first mention. In this context, we have Jesus proclaiming to his disciples the fulfillment in the future sense of the gospel, that he would be betrayed, that he would be killed, and that he would rise again the third day. He's talking to his disciples in verse 21. Verse 22, Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." How about that? Anybody can imagine a human getting a hold of the God-man, pulling him to the side and saying, "Jesus, you're not going to do this." I mean, that's what that means, rebuke. Peter is getting into Jesus' face. "You're not going to do this, Jesus. What are you talking about? You're going to die. No one's going to do that to you, Lord." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You know what Jesus said? There are things that offend him. And in this context, here they are, carefully spelled out for us, when things are savored which be of men and not of God. And obviously, in this case, it's Satan, right? Spiritually tempting Peter to move him to get Jesus not to die for the sins of the world. Satan, in this particular context, was exalting man above God. Whosoever and wheresoever men's agendas are exalted above the scriptures, you and I ought to think twice before giving your thumbs up support about it, because you might just be favoring the wrong party and offending God. So in a nutshell, you can go off on, you know, rabbit trails of tradition here and tradition there, but wherever you try to exalt yourself against the will of God, that's an offense. So let's be careful with that. Next verse, let's go now. Matthew chapter 18. Just keep your Bible there. I like to make it easy for you guys. Amen. On our Bible train, left to right, making it easy for you. Turn your Bible now, Matthew chapter 18. Let's read together now, verse number 6 through 7. Jesus said, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must be needs that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." And so on and so forth. So I want you to see here what is the context that the Lord is explaining here. God takes offenses seriously, especially when it's people hindering children in their faith and their access to God. Now, where could that be? Perhaps public education. You and I both know that our public education that is ran by Uncle Sam, they are anti-God. They have no God in their public education agenda. It is the state that wants to teach them how to be robots underneath their system. It's not God. It's not the Bible. Family structures, wherever they're not, if you will, encouraging and promoting Jesus and the Bible to their children, false religions, and so on and so forth. There's a woe pronounced upon men who hinder the little children who believe in him from accessing him and moving forward. I just want to show you there. That's an offense to God, and God takes that very seriously. He wished that those people who were an offense to them, that's what that would happen to them. So that's why we need to be careful with how God describes offenses. Third, let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, you can turn your Bible there with me. Verse number 16, let's work out those spiritual thumbs, amen? Work out them spiritual hands. Acts chapter 26, verse number 16. Here we have Paul giving testimony of his conversion to Jesus Christ. And allow me a second to look up the scripture reference, because unfortunately, I wrote down the number wrong. Let me just quickly see if I can peruse here. Give me one quick second. Acts 26 and verse number. It's somewhere in here, guys. Give me one second. Almost around here somewhere. If I can't find it, church, we will move on. So let's see if I can find it here. All right, let me just quickly search this, because I want to give you this for this teaching here. So just bear with me, guys. I'm just going to quickly, thank God for technology. I can just quickly search it real fast. The word offense, it was in Acts 26 somewhere. Oh, 24, there you have it. I just wrote a 6 down instead of 4. Okay, Acts 24, look with me now, church, in verse number 16. Once again, Paul giving testimony of his conversion. And he says here in verse number 16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a good conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men." This is a great, great spiritual application for every Christian on how we ought to live and conduct ourselves 24/7. We ought to live in such a manner that we do not offend God and we do not offend those around us. I want to show you two places now. You can just look up to the screen for the sake of time, where we as Christians need to be careful as we represent Jesus individually, but we also represent Jesus through our local church corporately. And hence, if we are out there in the world acting contrary to New Testament Christianity, love, charity, compassion, not only is it going to bring an offense to the heart and mind out there of God in general, but also to your church, and therefore accusations and so on and so forth. So just for the sake of time, look with me now at two places. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 32. Here's what the Bible says of how every Christian needs to continuously live their life in such a manner as not to bring offense to God or to those around them. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 31, 32. I'm just going to read these for you again for the sake of time. Just look up at the screen. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, there you have it, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, the Holy Spirit says, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. And so you and I are commanded by God, and whatever we do in the privacy or in the public, we are representing him as individuals. And then in our church, I'll get to that in a minute, but you just need to ask yourself, what I am about to do, does it bring glory to God? Or does it bring an offense to God? Is my action or my conduct or my thought process or whatever I'm trying to establish for my liberties, is that going to bring glory to someone wanting to come to know Jesus through my life? Or is it going to hinder them? You just got to ask yourself that. So no, I'm not going to go drink. I'm not going to go to the club. I'm not going to smoke over here. Ain't nobody going to get saved like that. Amen. That's just the flesh. And again, in your liberties, just ask yourself, is that going to be an assistance or an hindrance? And then the second one, just look up to the screen, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Read with me in verse number 3. The Bible says, giving no offense in anything that the what? Ministry be not blamed. So like I told you, not only are you representing Jesus as a general disciple, we get it, but you're representing Jesus through your local church and your practical fellowship. That's very important. Two things the Christian needs to protect himself from doing is offending unbelieving Jews and Gentiles from receiving the gospel because of carnal living, and the number two, protecting your church fellowship, your church's name from offenses. Christian, we don't just represent Christ individually within our salvation. We also represent his church corporately, that is, within our local church fellowship. It's very important that you and I remind each other of this truth, because there are many brethren who want to conduct themselves independent of their church leadership or their church's umbrella for ministry. You know, like, I'm going to go out there and evangelize by myself. I'm going to get money by myself, even though I say I go to this church. And perhaps in that moment of them doing something wrongfully, and now they're talking to someone one-on-one, they might treat them harshly, they might come off carnal, and then the party is offended to whom they're discussing with. And then when they ask them, well, what church do you go to? And they say Simple Faith Baptist, they're going to call, they're going to complain, they might put something online, they might say that guy and that church represents this because of that interaction. You got to be careful. We got to be careful of those type of brethren who want to conduct themselves disorderly by trying to be too independent. And so I talked to a good friend a long time ago about that and saying, you represent Jesus individually. I get it, brother, but you represent him with your church corporately. You have to understand that. You got to go with your church. You have to evangelize with your church. You should not be doing this independent, if you will, one-on-one on your own, because what happens if you are talking to somebody, a situation goes wrong, and the other person is offended, you just hinder that and then your church representation. So guys, how should we conduct ourselves? Give none offense. Give none offense. Remember, represent Jesus and represent your church faithfully. That's why I'm very careful when we go evangelizing, how we do it in the spirit in which we do it. I'm very careful of how we minister to people and how we talk to people, because we're representing this whole establishment. We want people to know that they can find him here. Amen? I think you guys get what we're trying to say. Romans employs this word of of offense in a more theological doctrine concerning salvation and the offenses that Adam passed upon between his race and God and the need for Christ to come. You can read a lot of those references of that offense, Romans 4:25, Romans 5:15 through 20, Romans 9:33, in the context there, Israel stumbling at the person of Christ and his divinity. I want to take it to two more places. Turn your Bible now with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Here is a practical example of how Christians can avoid offending their fellow Christian. Here's a good practical example on how to do that. Because I'm not sure about you, friend, but did you know that Christians still sin? And did you know that Christians still have feelings? It's not like after they converted, all of a sudden they had an automaton, you know, some kind of robotic transformation, and all of a sudden they no longer get offended. There's no more feelings. No one ever gets their feelings hurt. And now Christians still have feelings. But if you stick your mind into the Word of God and you put on the mind of Christ, I already told you, God said, you won't fall. You won't stumble in these areas. But it's only when we put off the mind of Christ and we put on the mind of the flesh, we will mess up. We will backbite. We'll bite and all that stuff, and it causes problems. So now listen, Romans 14, verse 18. The Bible says, well, let's go back to verse 17. Romans 14, 17, hope you're reading there. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You got to be taught that biblically, church. Every religion or every fellowship of Christianity, as soon as they want to add to the gospel any physical admixture with traditions and cultural practices, you will hinder the gospel from producing fruit within their life. When we come to church, it's not about dietary foods. When we come to church, it's not about your liberties of what you like to do externally on the outside. When you come to church, there are three main things, three main virtues in which we are going to try to emulate and reciprocate one to another. It's the righteousness of God. It's the peace of God. And it's joy in the Spirit of God. That's what the kingdom of God consists of. All the other stuff, you know, your diet, your preferred here and your preferred there, that's fine. But that's between you and God. Don't make that a part of the gospel as it pertains to conditions for fellowship. Now look at verse 18. He that in these things serveth who? Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. So the Bible can tell you if what you're doing is approved or not. You don't have to worry about, well, hey, pastor, what do you think? Hey, Google, what do you think? Let me find out what that one pastor says on YouTube. You know that one sermon? No. Forget all that. Go to the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to show you from the Word of God, is what I'm doing approved? Is it acceptable to God? And according to the verse right here, if you do this, you're going to be all right. You're not going to have to worry about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm telling you, you can serve Him right now knowing, hey, I got peace. I know that I'm doing these things, and it makes Jesus happy. Now look at 19. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another, for meat destroy not the work of God, and so on and so forth. So, as you guys know, at this church, we don't want to bring into this church traditions of men with holidays and feast days. You can do that at home. We want Jesus to be the focus. We want the Bible to be the source of our unity, because as soon as we start entertaining culture here, culture there, this flag over here, this government party persuasion over there, before you know it, we're going to tear each other up, because Christ wasn't the basis for unity and fellowship. And then we're going to judge each other because you don't eat like this. I eat meat. You eat, you know, vegetable foods over here. It causes problems. So if you want to keep it all out there, let's keep Christ the center, the Word of God, the basis, everything else, liberty. You guys can do that at home. Amen. Practical conduct to avoid offenses. Let's go to chapter 16. It might get a little hot, so that's why I have the windows open now. Let's go now. Romans 16. I'm just giving you a warning. Amen. Verse number 17. Listen now. We talk about judgment, spiritual judgment. I'm just going to preface now. The Bible does command Christians to judge. If you have been a part of a church that teaches you that you should not judge other Christians or Christian conduct, then you are not going to a Bible-based church. If you're going to listen to this for the first time, I'm just going to caution you, it's okay. This is God's word. So just receive it and you're going to be okay. And if you haven't been doing this lately, it's time to start soon, because you're going to see in a minute, once we get there, it's very important for you to maintain spiritual purity for doctrine. And then that's how everything else in your life is going to be affected by what you believe. Romans 16, 17. Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Do you know that the Holy Spirit tells Christians that they are to avoid certain people? If they teach something that is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you heard that for the first time, or perhaps you haven't understood it in a long time, it's time to start reminding yourself of how God wants for you to judge and to maintain spiritual unity. What's the heart for those type of people that do that kind of stuff, though? Well, in verse number 18, God said, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." These type of people that cause offenses contrary to doctrine, they're not coming at people with a frown on their face. They're not coming with an evil countenance. They're coming with a smile. They're coming making you feel good. That's what the Bible says. They're coming with good words and with fair speeches. I just like the way that guy sounds. He just makes me feel so good. You know that girl behind the pulpit? She just makes me feel so good. You know, God warned you about that. So what do you need to do? You need to judge the doctrine. I'm going to let you know right now, we're not judging the person. We're not doing no ad hominem attacks of accusing the color of their clay. We're not talking about their hairstyle. No. We're talking about their doctrine. What are they teaching? I am to judge that, and I'm going to make sure that we know this is an offense over here, brother and sister. Watch out. Oh, that guy is cool because they preach this. It's all good. I just want you to see that the Bible commands us, especially for those of us in positions of liberty, it is our duty to mark people and just point it out. Just make sure that you're telling the flock, hey, guys, watch out for this doctrine. Over there, that individual, y'all need to make sure, and here's why. And so now let me give you some examples. 2 Peter 2, remember, it told you of a damnable heresy. And what the Holy Spirit warned Christians there is that there will be false prophets and false teachers who deny that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, who died for the sins of the world and rose again the third day, 1 Timothy 4:10. Where men or women, or religions or cults or traditions or denominations, when they deny the divinity of Christ and salvation that is solely received by grace through faith, that is an offense to God. You want to watch out for that. So yesterday in our soul winning, Sister Arlene was sharing with us about some fellows knocking on her door. And initially, it seemed like they were coming with some good stuff. You know, they have a Bible in their hand. They dress modestly. They say, we love God. We love the Bible. And, you know, as she dug in a little further, what church to go to? So she says it's a World Mission Society Church of God. And I know about it. I've studied it. I've already done my due diligence. And I'm like, whoa, you just got to be careful. And here's why. And explain to her why they are false. These people, this religious cult, they have a false messiah from Korea called Christ Anson Sangong, okay? They believe in a female mother deity called Mother God, nowhere in the Bible, but they wrongly divide Galatians chapter 6 about, heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. They don't know what they're talking about. But they're leading millions and billions into hell because of their denial of who? Jesus. Bottom line. So I'm not so as concerned as to their dress. They got modest dress, guys. I mean, they're dressing better than some of the contemporary brothers out there. They dress nice. They carry a Bible. Ironically, King James. Okay, I like that. Check one so far. But other than that, who do they say that Jesus Christ is? Do they believe that he was the eternal Word of God made flesh? Oh, what? Korea? Oh, some guy from the Philippines over here, Iglesia de Cristo? False. Heresy. I can help you, friend, but you got to trust the Bible. I'm not talking about your haircut over here, brother. I'm not talking about your accent over there, sister. I'm just talking about the doctrine. You need to watch that. You need to mark it so they're heretics. You need to watch out for that cult, that church. Same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses because of their doctrine. They deny that Jesus was God. All of that. You understand what I'm trying to tell you. It's a doctrine of men. We are to judge that in regards to their teaching that is an offense to God. Why is that an offense to God? I'll answer that question in a minute. Again, I just want you to listen to me now. I'm not talking about their clay color, their accent. I'm not talking about the way they like to eat. I'm just talking about their doctrine, what it is that they teach concerning Christ. Who are they presenting to the world that Jesus is? That is what I'm talking about. As soon as I hear anything else outside of Christ as God, salvation by grace through faith, that's a problem. Watch out for that. I don't care if they sound nice. I don't care if they take me out to go eat after church. I don't care if they give me some money. That's good words. It's fair speech, but it's deception. You got to watch out for that, y'all. I'm just telling you. That's what the Spirit of God is telling you. Now, Philippians chapter 1. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 1. This is going to be good, especially for those of you who are parents, especially for those of you who are married. You have children to oversee, And then obviously, if you ever desire to get married again, or you want to get married one day for an aspiring wife or husband, you need to make sure that you have this mentality right now when you go into that, because you will see over time, you got a flesh and then you have the new nature. And that flesh at times want to go back to old habits and old things. And hey, I just want to watch that thing again. Or I want to listen to that thing. I just want to hang out with these people. Or I want to, and it's up to you to make sure that what you are approving of is approved by God. And it's up to you to deny that if it's disapproved by God. It's up to you to maintain that spiritual purity in your individual walk and then for those you are caring for. Look with me now, Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in what? That's what it says. All judgment. All of it. God doesn't want you to just say, yeah, flower power, brother, we got the Trinity, we're good here. I'm going to go back and, you know, drink it up, smoke it up. I'm going to keep doing what I... No. Holy Spirit wants every individual Christian. I don't care of the denomination for a second. Just put that on the side. Every single born-again Christian is commanded by God to increase in their love for him and in their understanding of judgment. And how do you do that? Read the Bible. Bottom line, that's how you do it. Put away Google. Put away this YouTube guy. Let me see this one. No, I don't care. Go to the Word of God and look at it yourself. You show yourself approved to God. You, the individual, need to make sure, I know that this is okay. I'm not just going off Pastor Carlos over here or that guy over there. No, I know for a fact, because the Bible says here, this is okay for me to do. This is not okay for me to do. So if your Christianity is not influencing you and not promoting within you to learn more, to study more, then you're getting a watered-down Christianity. We need to get ourselves filled with Word of God, because we need to be constantly judging everything every single day. For what reason? Look at verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. How about that? So why do I need to judge? Because I need to make sure that I'm not going to eat something that's going to make me sick later. When you go shopping for your food, you obviously make sure that it's not rotten. When you drive your car, you're judging the signs. You're making sure you're following the rules. Do you know that you and I judge all the time? But when it comes down to spiritual things, for some reason, we become a little bit more lackadaisical and a little bit more liberal because we're trying to excuse the flesh. So here's what the Holy Spirit said. That's your responsibility. Check this out now. Listen to me. It's not his. Look at what he said again. That ye may approve things that are excellent. So what did he give you? He gave you this, and he gave you the Holy Spirit in here. It's now your job to read this, let him help you through this, so that way everything else out here, your life, you know, your marriage, your family, your children, your job, your liberties, your music, the movies, the video games, all that other stuff you want to fill in blank, it's up to you now to say, yeah, that's okay for God. Oh, no, that's not okay for God. Don't worry about the pastor card. Pastor Carlos doesn't like this. No, don't put all that onto the side. I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to judge you at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus says, so what do you need to do? Man, you know what, wife? Let's make sure before we do that, let me just make sure if that's okay with God. I know you want to do the party thing again. I know the alcohol over here has a desire over here. I know this over here. But God, let me just make sure that Jesus is okay. Oh, you know what? Look, it says right here, it's not okay. We shouldn't do that. Oh, hey, look, wife. Hey, look, husband. Hey, children. Here's why we don't do this anymore, children. Here's why we don't do this anymore, kids. Because our God says here, here, here. And according to the Holy Ghost, when Christ comes back to take that church, you are going to be without offense. You're going to be found in that area approved. But in all the other areas, you will not be found approved. And he's going to talk to you about it. He'll talk to you. I'm just telling you, you got to get it right going on right now and let him take care of that later on. Look at verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, kingdom of God. Romans 14, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So if I want to live in a life that is without offense to God, is it righteous? Is it right before God? That's the bottom line. You got to ask yourself, is what I'm about to do right with God? How do I find out? Let me see what God said about it right in this book, and that's how you can find out. You don't have to worry about a Holy Ghost feeling here or a spirit of mystic, you know, sensation that my friends say, I just felt led, brother. That was like, no. Brother, you didn't feel led, amen. That's your spirit, man. That's your flesh, because the Bible says here, amen. So that's why I'm just telling you, don't worry about the fair speech, brother, or positive vibe, brother, down there, or sister frequency over here. You guys got to be biblically minded, Notice what the Spirit of God said. He wants you to increase in judgment. You don't get that by a feeling. You get that by a letter and a thing called the Bible. Are you with me now? 1 Corinthians 2. Bible says, just look up to the screen for this real quick. 1 Corinthians 2. We talked about this last Friday. Look with me now. 1 Corinthians 2. Go all the way down with me now. What do? We compare Scripture with Scripture. You're going to hear that a lot from different churches. We all have similarities no matter what church we go to. Oh, it's all about the Bible, you know, stuff like that. Okay, cool. All right. Verse number 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So what does that tell me? When a church that claims itself to be Christian, we're not talking about the denominational title here, just Christian, evangelical, blah, blah, blah. As soon as they say we don't judge, they are going contrary to the Word of God. They are not being spiritual. If it is a biblically Holy Spirit-led church, every single individual in there that is spiritual is judging all things. Why? Because we need to make sure that we don't get bad food in here that's going to make us sick. We don't get bad doctrine in here that's going to alter the effect of how I live and my conduct out there. And that's how you're going to be able to determine it. That we might individually and collectively might approve or deny what we should or should not accept within our lives to entertain, to do, and to involve ourselves with. So for the family, head of the household, husband, wife, children. Remember that? That's the order of God. For those of you who are adults and single, church, Jesus Christ is the head. He gave you pastor, word of God, leadership, family. It's up to every single one of us in those roles to find out if that's okay with God or not. I'm just giving it to you in simple terms. If it's approved or not. If you want to find out how you can make sure if something that you want to do is acceptable with God or not, you can read Romans 12, 1 through 2, Romans 14, 18, we already read that, 1 Peter 2, 5, and 1 Peter 2, 20. You can find out, brother, if that's okay with God or not. But if it's not, then get it right. Just say, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. Heaven is going to be awesome, and it's going to be worth it, okay? All right, let's go back to Galatians 5. That's our basic. All that to say, back to the Galatians chapter 5, you can leave a flyer there in your Bible. Read with me now, friend, in verse number 11. We're going to talk about why the cross of Christ is an offense to sinners. Paul said here, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? If he continued with Judaism, no Jew would persecute him. Remember, they stoned him where? In Asia. They followed him back down to Jerusalem for the day of the celebration. When they saw him in the temple, they straight up ran after him and said, this is the man that's telling the whole world, you know, all that. And they rocked him. If he stopped preaching the cross of Christ, they wouldn't have persecuted him. But notice what he said. Then as the offense of the cross ceased. Church, the preaching of the cross of Christ is an offense to sinners. Why? Because the God of heaven, the one and only true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, the God of Israel, the God and Father of Jesus Christ, clearly states in the Holy Bible that salvation for sinners is not found in nor available in any other means than but Jesus Christ. Let's go to two places. Acts chapter 4. Let's go there. Acts chapter 4. And then we're going to go to 1 John chapter number 5. Acts 4. Read this with me now, starting in verse number 10. Acts 4. It's always important to remind yourself of the historical context. You have to remind yourself, guys, this is the God of Israel. This is not the God of the Mexicanos, the God of the Africans, the God of the Chinese, the God of the Austrians. No, this is the God of one small people group on the planet, Israel, and God dealing with this little group that affects the whole planet. Because one man that was born over there 1,000 years ago said, I am the Son of the living God. And that told the Jew immediately that you cannot access Jehovah that you thought you would without me. And all their livelihood, you got to imagine, if you're a Jew living in the first century, you grew up with the temple, the sacrifice, the priesthood, because that's your entire societal structure. And then for this man to come along and say, I am the only way to God, it's complete blasphemy to a Jewish mind. For the Gentiles, remember, they didn't really care. They're just believing in philosophy and wisdom out there, having a good time with all their gods out here. It's just one more guy, you know, with a good teaching. But nevertheless, it's going to rub them the wrong way. Now, look with me now in Acts 4. God did his best, if you will, for the sake of discussion, to continue to compel to Israel this is my son, with a miracle, with a sign, with a wonder. He would allow the apostles to operate like that to compel that Jew to trust Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 10. After a man got healed, be it known unto you all, here's Peter preaching, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So he's quoting Old Testament scripture. This has to do with them. Neither, now listen, neither is there salvation in any other. So now for the Gentile, it's not in Muhammad. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Tao. It's not in Zoroaster. It's not in my Mexican forefather Yaqui traditions with the, you know, deer antelope, you know, running around the fire bed over there, running around butt naked. It's not in that. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why it's an offense, because it zeroes salvation and the access to God and his heaven through a man, not a religion, not a system, not a temple, not a sacrifice. And then for the Gentile later who says, well, I'm not a bad person, not your good works. It's a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to 1 John 5. Brother Carlos, you said that it offends God when people deny this. I'm going to show you now. 1 John 5. Read with me now, friend, in verse number 9. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 9. Bible says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Every individual, every religion who denies that salvation is only available in the Son of God are calling God a liar. That's some blasphemous stuff right there. That's why God is offended by the deeds of men, the thoughts of men, the wickedness of sinners, but mostly, it's the rejection of his gift to that sinner, Jesus Christ. How furious the living God must be when they deny Jesus, because you know what it calls God? A liar. That's pretty powerful. You and I have called each other liars in our times past. Why? Because we're men. We're mortal. You and I know that we're just people. When you call somebody out, oh, you're a liar. You lied to me because you're not God. But can you imagine the way you called your spouse a liar, your friend a liar, your family member a liar, your worker a liar? Can you imagine calling the creator of the heaven and earth, you're a liar? Because what you said in that Bible concerning your son, Jesus, is not true. That's some hardcore stuff. I can't even fathom that. You know what the writer of Hebrews said? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. How many of you guys remember the Ten Commandments movie? Anybody out there? Charles Heston? That's my favorite movie. Here's one thing that really spoke to me the other night. I was watching that movie. When he found out that he was a Hebrew, I just like how they portray that he decided to hang out with the Hebrews and get in the mud and get dirty again. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11, when Moses figured that out, he said that he wanted to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Remember that? When you and I come to accept the gospel, we are agreeing with God that he is true. And wherever the world and the pleasures of sin deny that, it doesn't matter to me, because I know the living God now. I know the truth of who he is. And as soon as God met Moses on that mountain, this man's life completely changed. This is the living God. I spoke with him. I saw his similitude. There's no more denial of who the true creator is. I want you to notice that. Why? Verse 10. Let's read the end. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. Can anybody tell me where I can find the record of God? Anybody? It's called the Bible. It's not in tradition. It's not in the Targums. It's not in the church fathers' writings. No, it's in the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Now, what is the record? Verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You know why the religious person is going to get offended too? Because we are telling that religious person that salvation is not in your water baptism. It's not in your church membership, Baptist, Protestant, Catholic, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. It's not in your good deeds. It's not in your bad deeds. It's not in your past. It's not in your future. It's not in your good feelings. It's not in your vibes and frequencies for this young generation today. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How many of you have believed on Jesus Christ? Anybody here today? Anybody born again, saved? Then you agreed with God. You know what you admitted before God when you before you got saved? God, I'm a liar. I'm wrong. You're right. Man, when that person shared Christ with me, the gospel, he said, I'm a sinner. Wow, God, you know what? You're right. I am guilty of sinning in my heart against you. I've committed adultery with lusting in my heart. I've drunk. I've stolen. I'm a thief. God, I am guilty of what you said. God, I agree that you're right and I'm wrong, but I'm willing to receive your offer of eternal life, which is in this man, Jesus Christ. God, I am willing to call upon him. Would you save me? And you know what God did? He saved you. Why? Because you trusted in the record that he gave of his son. That's good. I'm glad that God's merciful. So sinners offend the living God when they deny that Jesus Christ was truly his divine son incarnate, who died for their sins and rose again from the dead. God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if they're dark clay, light clay, Mexicanos, Americanos, fill in the ethnic, it doesn't matter. God is offended when sinners reject the gift of eternal life through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now with me, go back to the first century. To the Jew and today, they are offended at the preaching of Christ's cross. Why? Because Christians were preaching Jesus of Nazareth. Remember that, Acts 4. He's the Savior. Not Moses, not the temple, not the sacrificial priesthood system. Mm-mm. This man from Nazareth. To the Gentile, why is it an offense to them? Because it's not in their shrine. It's not in their altars. It's not in their traditions, their good deeds, trying to be a morally good person. It's in Jesus Christ. Turn your Bible now with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. The preaching of the cross of Christ is an offense to sinners. It offended you. Before you got saved, you were offended because you didn't want to agree with God that you were wrong. And it wasn't until you finally humbled yourself and said, God, you're right, I am wrong, you found true joy. That's what keeps sinners from getting saved. It's not a lack of information. It's not a lack of in their language, if they understand English or Greek or Hebrew. No, no. What keeps sinners from getting saved today is they are being told that they're wrong, God is right, and if you want to get up there to go when you die, you have to come through this little narrow way, the cross of Christ. You have to put off from your tradition over here, man, your calendars over here, your observations of times over here for the Gentiles with, you know, so you guys have heard of it before. What do we call those? Astrology and all those things and all. I'm telling you, people are don't want to give up self for Christ, but that's where we're going to find their true peace. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let me tell you a quick story. We were soul winning many years ago downtown at the pier, right where Brother Nick was, and we saw Brother David. And remember the Black Lives Matter rally? All y'all remember that? Everybody around, oh, I'm complaining. Everybody's wrong. The white man's wrong. Okay. Here comes the beats and the drums. Where we can hear it down there. I don't know where they were at, but they were all doing silly protesting over there. And we're just out there. We're like, man, it's kind of empty out here. There ain't nobody out here. We're just passing out flyers, you know? And my mom was there, ironically, that day. She was holding it down with us. And all of a sudden, guys, it almost felt like, when the tide begins to go back and all of a sudden the tidal wave comes. I mean, I kid you not, guys, the police kind of came right here. We're like, whoa, police, nobody's walking over here. It's literally just me, Katie, and I forgot who else was there with us that day. And then all of a sudden, here comes this big old boom, boom, boom. Rah! You know, all these fools out there preaching their gospel of social justice, blah, blah, blah. And they're coming this way. They're coming this way. And here we are. We're just a few Christians with a little scripture sign just trying to tell about Jesus. And they literally marched through us. And I just started preaching, man. I started preaching. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I'm looking directly in the black man's eyes, the white man's eyes, the brown man's eyes, and I'm telling him, Jesus Christ is Savior. He can save your soul. You got to come to him today. This is not going to change your life. It's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. And they go on through. And then one guy stayed behind, a little dark-shaded dude, and talking about, he's a pastor. He's a part of this international ministry, blah, blah, blah. And as I'm telling him the word of God, preaching the word of God to him, you know what he tells me? Get your knee off my neck, bro. Get your knee off my neck. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about, bro? Talking about me having my knee on your neck? You're preaching a false gospel. You're trying to get sinners to have peace in a temporal governing, you know, some weird penitence of repentance out here, and you're not telling any of your friends how to get to heaven. I said, you're messed up. You're wrong. You're the one that's hindering these people. I'm out here trying to tell them the right way. It was foolishness to that guy. He was carnally minded. It's a shame when Christians get involved with all those things that have nothing to do with them as soon as they take their last breath from that soul going to heaven or hell. They can have peace all day long from the white man, the black man. They can have peace from the governing structures with less taxes, more taxes. But if they do not have peace with their maker through Jesus Christ, the mediator, they're going to go down to hell. And all that marching for what? All the putting my face on the pavement for what? Nothing. It's just foolishness. That's Gentiles. They want to cling to wisdom of the world. They want to cling to philosophies. But the person of Christ, it's a foolish thing. I don't care. I'm holding it down, by the way. And I said, look at my skin right here. Yeah, I'm a brown man talking about Jesus. Amen. And so they can't get nothing on me on that. All right, verse 19. For it is written, he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So there goes Socrates. There goes Aristotle. There goes all the Gentile intellects, if you will. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care how Christians do it. Whether they do it with a smile. Hey, man, Jesus loves you. Yeah, if you just trust Jesus Christ, you can go to heaven. I don't care if you're out there, Jesus saves, the Bible says. I don't do if you're melancholy, if you're charismatic like Brother Carlos at times. Just preach the gospel. The Bible says that God is going to use that to save anyone out there who believes. Bottom line. However it comes out, let it come out. Let it come out. Now look at verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Now, we don't have time to get into it. If you want the exposition, just email me. I'll give you all the Old Testament quotes, Isaiah, the Psalms, 1 Peter, that the Messiah would be a stumbling block to them. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. It's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, and so on and so forth. Gentiles relied on their oral traditions with their philosophies and their public science education, their vibes and frequencies in our modern-day generations. When Gentiles are told that they are sinners, they get offended. When you tell them and explain to them why, from the scriptures, they're not good, they get offended. When you tell them that their good deeds or they're not them, not you know, outwardly being a bad person and all that evil morality that you try to appeal to them, they get offended. When you tell them that salvation is not found in their temples or their shrines or their altars or their images or their traditions, they get offended. When you tell them that giving to the poor, trying to be a good person, giving money, charity, not cheating on your spouse, when you tell them that all that is insufficient, they get offended. Because we are telling them that our Maker has made salvation a narrow way to enter into heaven. Matthew 7, we're almost done. Let's go to two more places. Matthew 7, and then we'll go to John 14. Matthew chapter 7, and then we'll go to John 14, and we'll come to a close, church. Matthew chapter 7. Read with me now, all the way. Verse number 13. Matthew 7, 13, and then we'll go to John 14. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which goeth therein that. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So I want you to see now, the creator of the universe has condensed the means of access to his heaven in a narrow way. But the world, the devil, temptation, Gentile civilization structures, and you know, the former empires and the former philosophies, religion here, tradition here, I don't care if it's Mexican tradition, Samoan tradition, American tradition, philosophies, wisdom of this world, good deeds. If you're just a moral person, if you just give money over here, well, I don't have any bad feelings. That's a broad way. Here comes Muhammad. Here comes Buddha. They ironically leave their families. They get married with a young girl. They want to have sex with young children, and they want to claim an epiphany in the desert. Well, there you have it. There's the original founders of those religions. You have, the former people over here from the Asian former fathers and Mexicanos over here and everybody else. That's a broad way to try to find the, if you will, all paths lead to the right. What is the saying they say? The world, all roads lead to, I don't know what they say. You understand what I'm talking about. You've heard that before. But they don't. They all lead to the way down there. There's only one way up there, and that's the cross of Christ. I want you to imagine that with me. It's a bridge. And according to the God of the Bible, he's narrowed it down. He's narrowed it down. It's this way. And then our last verse, you guys already know this. Let's go to John 4, and John 14, and then we're going to come to a close. Many of you know this by memory. Many of you know this by heart. As he is getting ready to leave this earth at his first advent, his disciples obviously are saddened, and they're going to miss him, and they don't know what's going on. They're confused. What do you mean you're going? What way are you going? What are you trying to tell us? Verse number 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? What do you mean you're going to die? What do you mean we can't go with you where you're going? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's a narrow way. There's a narrow way. To the Jew, a stumbling block. To the Gentile, foolishness. But to those of you who believe in that man of Nazareth, the narrow way, not your forefathers, not your tradition, not American past here, Mexican past here, fill in your ethnic past, not all my, you found the narrow way. And that little narrow way, once you trusted in the person, he opened up now the broader glories to come, which is heaven, joy, peace. Guys, it's going to far exceed whatever else we're going down here. So as we come to a close, back in our Galatians verse by verse study, we didn't even get to the flesh yet, but Lord willing, we'll get there. All we can say is this. Is the cross of Christ an offense? Yes. Who does it offend? Sinners. But who gets offended? God, when they call him a liar because they deny the record that God gave his son. Why is it an offense? Because it tells me that I'm wrong. And it presents to me an opportunity on how to be right. But if I don't want to give up this sin or this belief system over here, hence repentance, I'm going to go to hell. But when I'm willing to humble myself before the living God and say, you know what, God, you're right. This thing can't do this for me over here. This religion, this education, this sexual pleasure over here, this alcoholic thing over here, this whatever fill in the blank that sinners, you know, try to satisfy themselves with. Okay, God, here's your son, Jesus. I'm going to trust him. And according to the Bible, that living God up there who was offended at you every single day because you're in belief, he became peaceful with you because of Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. That's what the Bible says. He brings peace. He establishes peace. And now for the rest of eternity, you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. It's no longer an offense between the both of you because you've been reconciled. But to your neighbor, to your spouse who may not be saved, to your neighbors and everyone else, it is an offense. And now you know why. So what do we need to do? We need to keep praying for them. Don't limit it and don't water it down. Don't sugarcoat it. Leave God's word alone. It'll do the job. What we need to do now is do our best to live in submission to it so that way we don't add to the offense with our carnality. Anybody out there? And then we'll get to that later on with the spirit and all that in the flesh. We'll get to that in a little bit, okay? Let's close in prayer. Abba, Father, I just want to thank you so much for allowing us an opportunity to gather once again in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Father, it is a blessing to know that we have peace with you now because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord God, I'm so thankful to see all souls that are here represented. Lord, you know every single one of them individually, and you know what you have purpose for them. You know what you have desired for them to live for you for the rest of their life. Lord, before they got saved, you were offended at them. Lord, before they got saved, they were offended at you. But God, after they humbled themselves before the gospel presentation, they asked you to forgive them. They besought your mercy. And even though you were an angry, offended God, you were also merciful. You were also compassionate, ready to forgive whoever calls upon your son. And so God, they did. I did. And now you've become our daddy, our Abba Father. Father, we need your help. We don't need your help necessarily with all the intellectual stuff of the gospel. We know what it says. We know what the Bible teaches of your son, Jesus Christ. But what we need help with is living a life free from offense to you, to our spouse, to our neighbors, our children. We need help, God, living a life that is free from offenses. Lord, would you help us with that? Only you know every single individual soul here today. Only they know deep down in their heart the hidden counsels, the secrets that they struggle with, the faults that they still carry, that sometimes is a hindrance, it's an offense. Lord, would you help them so they can live blameless before you? They can live blameless within their church when they go back to their church family at home, wherever that might be. Lord God, would you help this church and every single one of us here today to call out to you, to seek you for help, so that way we don't live with these offenses between us. We know those things that we need to get right within our life. We know what your Bible says about certain habits and certain things we should and shouldn't do, what we should do with our body and should do with our time. God, would you help us so we don't live in offense, but without offense. Lord, help us now to get to our home safely thereafter the fact. Help us have good fellowship now, and help us to use this knowledge that we've gained to help Christians and to help people come to saving faith. And at the end of the day, God, we need to be more like Jesus. That's our goal here, Lord. Help us to do so. So I thank you now, Lord, and we just commit the rest of this day into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. Church, I love you all. God bless you. And hopefully we can have some good fellowship. May the Lord bless you.